Welcome to Narratives. James Bradley explains the origins of the unusual title of his book, then reads from the scene-setting first chapter, which follows the lives of a family enduring the changes wrought on the planet by climate change.
Clade is a biological term. It means a group of organisms with a common ancestor. The word actually comes from the Greek, klados, which means branch, and it literally means one branch on the tree of life. And the title is, it's one of those titles that kind of encapsulates the book, because the book is about a family and it follows them across several generations as the climate changes around them and the world changes around them. Clade's a funny book, because in a way it's not a dystopian book. What I wanted to do was write a book which was not about what if the world ends, it was about what if the world doesn't end. In the past, some semblance of ease had always reasserted itself following an argument. But after that night, they seemed unable to find a new equilibrium. And so when Adam was offered the chance to be part of an expedition to the Antarctic, he took it immediately, looking forward to the opportunity to lose himself in something new. The project he is attached to is attempting to develop a better understanding of the continent's climate during previous periods of warming, using fossilised plants and traces of ancient pollen to chart the transformation of the landscape, its transition from rainforest to tundra, and finally the barrenness that now surrounds him. And while for the most part the work of gathering samples of sediment and rock has been routine, the experience has been anything but. Travelling south, he watched the temperate seas give way to the heaving swells of the Southern Ocean, the water growing darker, denser, heavier, before it changed again, the massive swells replaced first by icebergs and then by fields of drifting ice, their surfaces sculpted by wind and waves, until at last the dark bluffs and gleaming snow of the continent itself hove into view. The nature of their work means the occasions when he and his fellow scientists are able to articulate the effect of the place upon them are few, but he knows he is not the only one who feels themselves altered by it, or that their work here is bringing them close to something pure, something normally obscured. On a notice board, someone has pinned a piece of paper bearing the words, "The emptier the land, the more luminous and precise the names for its features." And although he is not sure where the line comes from, he recognises it in some deep way, for it captures his feeling he is in a place of the infinite, a place that exists without reference to the human, or indeed to any notion beyond the great wheel of the seasons, the ceaseless motion of the ice. Walking alone along the headland by the base, where orcas can sometimes be seen playing offshore, their piebald bodies bobbing up and down like the horses on a fairground ride, or around the edge of the bay where the only sound is that of the skuas and the wind, it is possible to feel his anger and unhappiness wash away. The others feel the same. He is certain of it. It is visible in the way they suddenly grin and laugh, as if alive in a way they haven't been before. But he also knows that they share the urgency of what they do, that beneath their banter lies an awareness that they are at the end of something. This year the ice has retreated further than ever, exposing rock and stone buried for millions of years. To the east and west, the glaciers are flowing faster and faster, carving bergs half the size of cities day after day, a process of transformation so vast it is difficult to comprehend. Indeed, sometimes it seems the entire continent is moving around them. Just over a week ago, he flew out with a team assigned to take samples from the shelf to the west of the station. It was a long flight, 3 hours trekking out across the whiteness. Yet for the most part, it passed in silence, Adam and the others absorbed in the landscape passing beneath them. When they landed, Adam was the first one out, clambering down quickly, his head bent low to avoid the rotors, the thunderous whine of the turbines. But as the roar of the engine faded, it was replaced by another sound, a deep geological creaking and groaning that rose and fell and echoed to the horizon. Turning back to the helicopter, Adam saw that the others heard it too, that he was not imagining it. And he understood what it was, that the sound was the ice shifting beneath them as the entire landscape on which they stood slipped and fell towards the sea. That night he hardly slept, the implications of what he had heard chasing through his mind. He knew he should have been terrified or in despair, yet instead he felt a kind of elation, as if he had been freed somehow.
The Narratives Library is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Campus Bay FM 99.9.